Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In Paul's list of the qualities of a pastor, he states in verse 2, if you'll look there, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. And then the last quality in verse 2 is apt to teach. He must be able to effectively communicate the word of God. It has been rightly so, it is not enough for a leader in the church to teach the truth. He must also model the truth. In other words, integrity, blamelessness, which is living what you teach and preach, is such a necessary quality because listeners will have a hard time believing a man who seems not to believe himself. What a man is cannot be divorced from what he says. Richard Baxter has said of a pastor, "He that means as he speaks will surely do as he speaks." But it is also not enough for a pastor to live the truth. He must be able to teach the truth as well. He must be, as we just read in verse 2, apt to teach. He must have the gift of teaching. As one theologian has stated, a pastor must reach the sinner and teach the saint, which means he must be able both to understand and to communicate the truths to others, as well as to refute those who mishandle it. He is to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that lies within him. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, if you want to quickly turn over there, says, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince," and that word convince really means to convict, "the gainsayer." And you say, well, what is the gainsayer? Well, that refers to the opposition, those that stand opposed to the truth of God's word. But with sound teaching, a person, a pastor, is able to face that hostility aright. He is able to give, as I just said, an answer of the reason of the hope that lies within him. And I want to encourage you right now to hold fast to sound doctrine. I hope as I instruct you, as others stand before you and instruct you, that you hold fast to sound doctrine. Al Mohler said, "We will," referring to his seminary, "we will stand fast." He said, "If we have to leave these buildings to the bats, we will stand fast." And I think that's the heart we should have as well, that we will stay true to God's word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and the reason for the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ." What is Paul telling us here? A pastor must be a skilled teacher and preacher of the word, which is one of the qualifications that really set, or is the one qualification that sets the pastor apart from the deacon. He must be able to do well what is the primary task of a pastor, and that is to teach and preach the word of God. Just across the page, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, "Till I come," Paul told Timothy, "give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to preaching." In chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine," they who preach the truth of God's word. Turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, Verse 15, a verse I'm sure you're familiar with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 24 of chapter 2, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, who stand in opposition, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Chapter 4, verse 2, a verse that you know, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Well, what is the criteria that identifies a pastor as a compelling and competent preacher and teacher of the word? Well, an effective pastor must first have a deep understanding of the word he is conveying. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4, 6 that a pastor must himself be nourished up on the words of faith and sound doctrine, which tells us he cannot be a babe in regards to scriptural knowledge. In fact, someone has said the deeper the reservoir of doctrinal knowledge a man has, the more skilled and applicable will be his teaching. And so really, the first criteria for being a pastor, being an effective preacher and teacher of the word, is he needs to know the word of God. He needs to be able to rightly divide the word of God. And this comes to pass as we see the second criteria that a pastor must have, and that is that he needs to be a diligent student of the scriptures. As we quoted earlier, he must study to show himself approved unto God. And what does this mean? Well, he reads the word, memorizes the word, he meditates on the word, and he needs to research the word. In other words, he must have a working knowledge of the truth he is seeking to communicate. By the way, that is really a pattern that you should follow. Isn't it true that you need to be like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17? And what did they do? They studied, they searched out the scripture. They made sure that what the preacher was saying was the truth of God's word. I hold your feet to the fire, and you do what? You hold my feet to the fire. And together, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Third, a sound pastor will have an attitude of humility as he lives a life marked by holiness. Listen to these verses, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice. This is one of the qualifications of a pastor, lest being lifted up with what? Pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 12 of that chapter, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verses 24 25, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but we said, quoted this earlier, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We read those earlier. But it has been rightly said, the teacher must be the prototype of what he asks his people to be. And seeing sanctified living in the preacher gives credibility to what he is saying. It says to the listener that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't it true that you will listen a lot more closely and carefully if you see the effect of what the preacher is preaching in the preacher's life? You say, well, if it's good enough for Pastor Lane, it maybe is good enough for me. If it's working on Pastor Lane's heart, it surely can work on my heart. And fourth, a persuasive pastor must be sound in doctrine. He is to avoid profane and vain babblings. In other words, he is to steer clear of godless chatter, for it leads to error. And we see that in 1 Timothy 6:20 and 2 Timothy 2:16. Think with me of the millions and millions of souls that have been and are being damned because of false teaching. Again, he is to be nourished up in the words of faith and doctrine, so that he can therefore nourish and nurture the hearer. Now let me say, and it's so easy to go down this road, but why do we want to argue about things that really don't matter in the scheme of things, in the big picture? Or maybe we argue about things that we don't even know for sure are true or not. Yes, we can have lighthearted questions about things like, well, did Adam and Eve have a pet? Will my pet go to heaven? But I think those are questions that we maybe are wondering about. But let's remember, as we consider the criteria of sound doctrine, that the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. God doesn't want to play hide-and-go-seek with us. I mean, really, God's word is very clearly revealed. And I think we get in there and mess it up, and we add our 2 cents. And honestly, sometimes our 2 cents isn't worth 2 cents. And so what we need to do is say, okay, what does the scripture say? And by the way, the scripture is clear. You take the cardinal doctrines of the word of God, and the word of God is clear. How can you get anything else but salvation by grace through faith? Personally, I don't see how you can get any other baptism but immersion. And that's what the Greek word for being baptized means, to plunge, to dip, to immerse. Well, number five, a skilled pastor is to have strong courage and consistent convictions. Practices, he believes, he stands firm on what he preaches, which means he sets a high bar of holiness. As I've said before, there he is to be above reproach, he is to be blameless. At the end of his life, he must be able to say, I've fought a good fight, finished the course, I've kept the faith. Honestly, my father could say that. And what a testimony his life was and is still to me. He never wavered on the cardinal doctrines of the faith. He was consistent. He stood strong when it came to the truth of God's word. And then one more criteria of a faithful preacher, teacher of the word: he must be spirit anointed. And really, that should be probably the first one. But a pastor can be a gifted preacher. He can be smart. He can have all sorts of degrees. He can be a great public speaker. He can be very articulate. He can be very charismatic. But it is the Holy Spirit who brings life to what is being conveyed, to what is being preached. The letter killeth, but the what? The Spirit giveth life. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord. Every time I preach, Pastor Becker, whoever stands here, we need to pray, Lord, Spirit of God, anoint what he is saying. Only when the Holy Spirit is at work through the preaching and teaching of the word will there be that transforming work of grace. which is the true goal of the preaching of the word. Why do we encourage you to come? Why do I prepare a message so that I can just give you knowledge, that you can pass a Bible quiz? The bottom line is we convey line upon line, precept upon precept, so that the truth of God's word changes your heart, transforms you into the image of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose, the ultimate purpose for the preaching and teaching of the word, so that you will become more like Christ. And it's only the Spirit of God who takes his truth and changes your heart, creates in you that love for God, that love for his word, and that love for others. And so again, how necessary and needful it is for a pastor to be apt to teach, which means he works at his studies, and then he works at convincingly bringing God's truth to bear in the hearts and lives of the listeners. He prays for the anointing of God's Spirit with the results. So we led with this verse in our message, so that there would be the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, so that there would be the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, so that the church could effectively do the work of the ministry. The Word of God, through the power of the Spirit of God, equips you, builds you up, so that you can go and do the work of the ministry, which is to build up and help equip others. Tell the story of Jesus and his love. You know, honestly, people should look at your life, they should look at my life, and say, you sound like, or you look like, or you seem like, and you act like a person of faith. Can you tell me what you believe? What is your faith? Who is your faith in? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, in my faith. Praise God for men that God equips who qualify, so that they can teach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ.